Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast. Today is November 6, 2020. The Coconuts Podcast is your home for top trending news and pop culture from all across Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. I'm Vim Shanmugam.
And I'm Summer Lee.
Hi, Summer!
Hi, Vim!
What's up?
Let's do this. I feel like we start off every podcast by saying that we're surviving the week.
Yeah, but then, like, what's new in 2020, dude? Like, it's just been sitting indoors and hoping Miss Rona leaves. But okay, I guess we can talk about, holy shit, we're in the middle of a pandemic and there's elections in the US, and that is like,
oh gosh, yeah. I mean, it's ongoing. I think it's, you know, obviously we cover Southeast Asian and Hong Kong news, but I think anything that happens in the States, especially something as big as the elections, really sort of affects us and pretty much the whole world. So everyone's watching with bated breath.
Together, we will make America great again.
Mm-hmm. I'm just refreshing Twitter for the memes as usual, but also on Google for the results. Holy shit, it's so close now.
Yeah, it is. It is. Hopefully, like, we'll have a result hopefully by today. I hope it doesn't run into the weekend.
Poor people who have to count the things.
I know. Oh gosh. And yeah, all kinds of drama behind that as well. Which we shall not get to. But yeah, I think the other thing that's been happening is that what is up with this weather? Like, it's hot and then it starts raining and then it's back to being hot again and then it storms. I mean, I know we're in the tropics, but come on, this is like next level.
More proof of global warming. Ah, back to elections. Okay, I'll stop that.
Oh, controversy.
Ooh. Bring on the hate mail. Advertise with our in-house agency, Grove. Fast, funny, digital. Join forces with us to slay buzzwords, rise above the noise, and sow the seeds of something great. Get in touch via coconuts.co/grove. And now, our top stories for the week. We start off in Yangon. So being a doctor has made her parents proud, but going on OnlyFans made her rich. Oh, this one is amazing. But yeah, Nang Mui San's parents had her life charted out. She was born in Shan State's Kuching area and raised in Yangon, and she fulfilled her dreams by enrolling in medical school. By 20, she was a doctor and spent the next years working at hospitals in Myanmar's largest city, and doctors at public hospitals make about $200 per month. But at private hospitals, she earned slightly more. But yeah, it wasn't her dream, so she began posting sexually charged photos in swimwear and lingerie on social media as a hobby, drawing an audience and commercial appearances. The photos led the Malaria Monitoring and Evaluation Office in Yangon, where she worked as a medical officer, to demand her resignation.
Boo!
But yeah, now at 30 years old, she is a national sex symbol with 2 million followers between Facebook and Instagram. But her new career closed doors behind her in culturally conservative Myanmar. It's a whole damn thing, because even the National Medical Council last year ordered her to stop and made sure she couldn't work as a doctor again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then she goes on to say, you know, they told me it was against Myanmar tradition and even asked me to sign a paper. So I did sign it, but it didn't stop me, she told Coconuts Yangon. And eventually they sent her a letter saying that her license had been revoked.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man. Okay, yeah, I guess the country is very conservative. But I mean, from going to, you know, earning $200 per month, was it, for a public hospital? And now she's earning up to $50,000 in a month just on OnlyFans. So, like, who's really winning?
You win. Perfect.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, so she used to earn $200, like $200, like USD per month being a doctor. Oh, my gosh. That's like, yeah, that's like not good.
Yeah, just based on the math, if I look at 50,000 and 200, or slightly more than that, but still 50,000. And yeah, she goes on to say that I wanted to make some earnings, not from sugar daddies, but on my own. So when I found out that I can do so on OnlyFans, that's when I jumped in. Good for you, sis. In this household, we respect that.
Yeah, I guess for people who don't know, and I think there are only two types of people who don't know about OnlyFans, people who use OnlyFans and people who lie about using OnlyFans or knowing it. But yeah, it's sort of a subscription content creator site where you have direct access to performers and content creators, and they are of the adult variety, shall we say, 18 and above.
Mostly.
18 and above. 21 and above in some countries. So yeah. And but I think like it's also like, if I'm not wrong, like I think it's like you pay for the performer that you want to sort of watch, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Pornhub, but it takes away the exploitation, if I may say so. Because you own your content, you earn directly from it. So like, good for you, man.
For anyone on the site, like I think like performers get to, yeah, make the bucks directly. Like there's no like middleman. Well, there is a bit of a middleman because there is OnlyFans, but I think OnlyFans takes like a very tiny cut. I think a lot of the money that a lot of these actors get, it goes straight into pockets. They don't have to have like multiple people, like you said, exploiting them.
Yeah, and yeah, as she said, you know, she's setting records out here because she is the first Myanmar national to be on OnlyFans. And yeah, before that, she had regularly posted free videos to Instagram and Snapchat stories, you know, just blessing the community with free content. But of course, the pandemic brought an end to events and commercials, forcing her to kind of rethink her strategies. And good for her, get the bag, sis.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a bigger issue of, like, I do understand that, you know, some parts of Asia are extremely conservative and you know, these types of, I guess like this type of content and personas potentially might be taken the wrong way. But yeah, I think it's a bigger story of like slut shaming, right? Like, or even letting like a woman be who she wants to be. Because she's happy to do that content and like sort of have her fans and whatnot. So yeah, kind of bummed that she can't be a doctor as well. But hey, you know what? 50k, whew, who needs to be a doctor?
Who's smiling on their way to the bank. And yeah, if anything, you know, if we're gonna learn anything from this, is that there is a demand. So like, why are we shaming people? Why are we slut shaming in the year 2020? Don't do it. We support women in this household.
Yeah, from Myanmar, some unfortunate news in Singapore, where someone else has put their foot in their mouth. Trashy's transsexual. Unfortunately, a comment sunk a LGBT event on a Sentosa super yacht. So a local super yacht operator abandoned plans for an LGBT-friendly event after an employee said it did not want to target, quote-unquote, trashy transsexual kind. The people behind LGBTQ meetup app Prout leak exchanges between this yacht company called Royal Albatross and an employee that worked there, basically saying that like they're not going to try to attract certain types of people for the event. They don't want to damage the brand. They feel that you know, targeting trashy transsexual people might be there only to create trouble. And basically, yeah, well, they probably put up the social media exchange, and of course netizens came down to slam Royal Albatross. So really, really unfortunate situation where, once again, I don't understand, like, in a professional situation, why anyone should be, you know, openly talking about whatever their opinions or feelings are. You know, you do realize that you're representing a company, and also, yeah, just don't be a dick.
Yeah, and it's like, it's an LGBT event. You're going to target, so this person says that they only want the LG and not the B or the T. And that's not how it works. You know, if you're going to go after the pink dollar, there's so many layers of how problematic this is. Because first of all, the politically correct term is transgender. It might be a preferred, you know, way of speaking about this community. And yeah, there's just a need for national education on this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's so weird too, because like Royal Albatross actually came to Prout, and they wanted to sort of promote you know, private dinners targeting LGBT communities, giving them an opportunity to, you know, like you know, do whatever they want and hang out and have fun. But yeah, so just, you know, I think they just need to make sure that the hiring processes are, you know, a little bit more stringent maybe when it comes to having, you know, if you want to be open-minded and accepting of everyone, then, you know, you need to walk the walk.
Absolutely. It reads weird, because if you're saying like, by the way, we only want the rich gays, that just does not read well.
Yeah, that's just, ugh. yeah, this is not cool. So unfortunately, like, yeah, they had to, Prout had to suspend their hashtag Love is Love sale. Yeah, and so Royal Albatross has come back and apologized and said that, like, the employee used a bad choice of words. And essentially, like, you know, they're trying to say that we're gender neutral and welcome everyone. But, you know, we've currently, like, suspended our hashtag Love is Love sale, and we need to be, we need to educate ourselves on diverse communities. So, yeah, kind of a bummer that, you know, all this, like, went down. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, and in response, Prout said the Royal Albatross team was a little strange and awkward. Yeah, but so, unfortunately, these are things that happen, and we just need to stop. We just need to stop. Be sensitive, be kind, and, you know, respect everyone. And hopefully, like, this is just a learning process for not just Royal Albatross, but, like, other companies and businesses in Singapore.
Mm-hmm. And over in Bali, come heal. Because Bali eyes domestic travelers for medical tourism. And yeah, Bali may not be the first place you think of when you consider destinations for medical tourism, but an Indonesian agency dedicated to the field says it's shifting its focus to attract domestic tourists to the island as an option for various medical services. The Indonesian Medical Tourism Board, also known as IMTB, said that many tourists come to Bali for cosmetic procedures from face implants to liposuction to non-invasive options like Botox injections. With around 60 patients monthly, these procedures bring in around IDR 1.2 billion, so that's around $82,000 USD for the practitioners. IMTB General Manager for Bali, Putu Dedi Suhartawan, sick name by the way, told Liputan 6 yesterday that there are 15 hospitals in Bali that have been accredited to perform such procedures at the national level, while 4 have received international accreditation. Dedi said that tourists from Australia, China, and India topped the list for medical tourists in the province last year, but due to COVID-19, the board is now shifting their target markets to domestic tourists. So in summary, basically, if you want to do liposuction, now is the time. Inject your face, circulate the economy. That's what's happening. Get on it. Get to Bali.
You know what? I think I'm super oblivious. I never knew this was like a thing. Like, I never knew it was like, you know, there's such a thing. But I guess it does make sense, right? Because a lot of people, quote unquote, especially like in Hollywood, they go on quote unquote holiday and then they come back with like a new nose or, you know, like.
Do you, man, whatever makes you happy. But yeah, I was actually shocked to read that, you know, this is Bali as well. Like, we know them for, you know, their beach clubs and stuff, beach resorts. Mm.
Yeah. I wonder where all these like secret like clinics and hospitals are.
Time to visit.
Yeah. One day, summer, we shall return.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of a hairy story in more ways than one, because over 100 live tarantulas were smuggled inside sneakers seized in Pasay Airport. So in the Philippines, Bureau of Customs officials seized 119 live tarantulas in the international airport. They were kept inside like these, a bunch of ASIC sneakers, and they were found inside a warehouse of a courier service. They x-rayed the box and they thought it was something kind of weird because there were all these like wrapped up little capsules in the sneakers, so they probably thought there was something amiss. And then they found out they were spiders. But good news, the spiders were transferred to the Department of Environmental and Natural Resources Wildlife Tracking Monitoring Unit. Whoa, that's a mouthful. And they're all being kept safe, and hopefully they're healthy and living long spider lives.
I don't know about you, man, but like my toes are curling at the thought of like spiders in shoes. Like I'm thinking about, what if I wear the damn shoe? Oh my God.
Don't you dare touch me. Stand back. No. No.
Okay, sorry.
So it's kind of weird because they're basically just old ASIC sneakers, and like the 119 live tarantulas were like wrapped up in little capsules and put in there. So there must have been like babies, like tarantula babies, because the tarantula is kind of big, right? Like it's about like a hand size, like the size of your hand.
Thank you for that, Bim. Thank you very much for describing it in such detail.
But they're so cute and furry.
Yeah, nah, it's a no for me, dog.
Well, hopefully they're running around and having a good old time in the Philippines.
Away from me. Thank you very much. Cool. And over in Bangkok, dance cremation. Friends fulfill Supan Buri man's dream of a sexy funeral. And holy shit, this headline. Well done. For 90s kids, you know what's happening, because it's a play on words from Dance Dance Revolution. Iconic dance game.
First stage, ready, set, step. You're the one they came to see. You can do no wrong.
And okay, back to the story. What do you do for a good friend after they die? How about dispatch a squad of sexy dancers to send him into the afterlife? Because that's what the friends of Kritsana Wonkasem did. For his final wish at a Supanburi province temple by unleashing coyote dancers in front of his coffin, keeping the promise to the deceased 46-year-old motorcycle repairman. So before Kritsana died in a motorbike accident, the repair shop owner told his friend Kanika Charanpol, a volunteer rescue worker, that he loved coyote girls and teasingly saw that they should hire a squad to dance in front of the coffin of whoever died first. Yeah, so Kanika and friends at the Volunteer Rescue Association made good on the second night of his funeral at Wat China Wat, rolling in a rescue vehicle with serious sound system to park outside and pump out the jams for the girls, who were joined by their friends and relatives. And yeah, Kritsana's mom said that she was happy to see her son was well-loved by friends who did their best to give him a warm send-off. She said the show helped with her grief, adding that she and her husband rewarded the dancers with money. Oh, how heartwarming. And like, you should really see the video on this, dude. Like, there's a whole video, there are pictures, it is beautiful. Like, you know, I don't know, it just makes me want to like plan my own funeral right now. So just for the for the record, if Megan Thee Stallion could twerk at my funeral, that would be real nice.
Yeah, this is like a baller idea, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, like for me, I think like my friends know what to do now.
That's how you know they're real, you know.
I can just think of the scenario. Oh my gosh, so crazy. A little morbid, but kind of hilarious at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, funerals don't have to be, you know, all grieving and shit. It's like also a celebration of life.
True that. So over in Jakarta, cyclists can now hire motorcycle taxi drivers as security escorts amid, unfortunately, a rise in muggings. So as you know, in Jakarta, there are a ton of cyclists, and with that comes expensive new bikes as well. But with that also comes a lot of muggings, unfortunately. So to combat this, the Association for Two-Wheel Action Movement, Garda, has decided that they will now have specially trained drivers to escort cyclists on the road. They're basically like security guards on wheels that kind of basically like ride with you. And keep you safe. You can, you know, different packages that you can use to get people to follow you home. So especially if you're on like a dark or secluded road where there might be some shenanigans, all you gotta do is just hire one of these security bikers and they'll come find you and you guys can go home safely with no muggings.
That's good. Like, as a woman in this planet, like, this is very useful, dude.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Wouldn't that be like I wonder if that would be a good idea in general, or would it, like, I feel like it would need to be done with, you know, like huge background checks and like multiple like references. Mm-hmm. So if not, I feel like it might just make things worse.
Yeah, absolutely. This could be like, you know, all your rideshare services as well. Like, yeah, just keep track of the dude.
Just keep track of it.
Mm-hmm. And over in Singapore, the messy, chaotic aftermath of Robinson's out of sale. And you got to see the photos. Please click on this article because it looks like, I don't know, maybe a crime scene. It's quite comparable. But yeah, last week's sudden announcement that Robinson's department stores were closing for good sent hundreds of shoppers into a frenzy at its two outlets, leaving behind a big mess. But yeah, it was still in disarray when Coconut Singapore went to both stores this week. So the six-story flagship outlet at the Heron on Orchard Road and the other store at Raffles City. So there were empty shelves, shoes all over the floor, and barrier tape at nearly every turn as vendors packed up their unsold goods into boxes and shoppers scavenged for final deals. And only a handful of staff members were seen tending the cashier counters and booths. Holy shit.
For people who don't know, Robinson's is like, I guess I'm one of the mainstay shopping chains in Singapore alongside like Tang's. Would you throw like Metro in there as well? I think.
Yeah, maybe? Man. Freaking throwback, man. Metro. Is it still around?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think so. Like, I think it's at like Metro somewhere. Mm-hmm. Paragon. So, so like it's kind of a shocking thing. And my mom was actually like really, really like shocked about this. Yeah. Cause she's like a huge like Robinson shopper. Well, we can't really like pluck them anymore because they're gone. But.
Oh, rest in peace. But yeah, and they have been here like super long. Like this closure is after 162 years in the freaking country.
Oh, so wow. That's
crazy. And like that's just insane. And just a personal observation. If you go on Carousell right now, for those who don't know, it's where you buy and sell whatever secondhand MacBooks, whatever. Mm. But yeah, so everyone's trying to get rid of their freaking Robinson's vouchers. And yeah, the page is just flooded when you go look at it.
Well, where can you? You can't use them anywhere, right?
Oh, that's the thing. So what people don't know is you don't really have to go and, you know, rush to sell all of them because now you can actually redeem them from the brands that this company owns as well. So that includes like Vans, Marks & Spencer, which is still alive. And that's nice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So chill out, people.
Cool. Okay, that makes sense. That's pretty cool. Okay. Yeah, but I guess like this prompts the eternal question, Summer. Where will all the aunties shop now?
No! Are they going to flock to Shopee? No! That's my jam.
So, order from McDonald's. Burger King Indonesia has asked customers to order from rival restaurants affected by the pandemic. And so this is like a really sort of cool story where Burger King came out and said that they wanted customers to actually buy food from their competitors. They said that we encourage you to order from KFC, Subway, Domino's Pizza, Pizza Hut, Five Guys, Greg's, Taco Bell, Papa John's, blah, 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 blah. Because in a bit of solidarity, they're saying that, you know, we want to support employing all the staff that work at all these places. And we obviously like, we are happy for the support that you give us. But, you know, if you want to have a Big Mac, it's not a bad thing, even though a Whopper is still better. So a little tongue in cheek, but something really sweet. And I think it's going across. I think it's not just Burger King Indonesia. Burger King UK did the same thing as well. So I think it's trickling down. I know some people will say it's a bit of like, you know, positive PR, and it is. But I think Burger King, just to say, like Burger King social media, like just in general, like, you know, outside of this this one post, like they've always been pretty like on point. Like they've really been like on fire. They're cheeky. They're very topical. They know what's going on and very self-aware. So kudos. Obviously, netizens in Jakarta and around Asia have reacted to this, you know, with lots of warm words. So nice campaign, even though I guess like it is a campaign.
Oh, well, all publicity is good publicity, I think. But yeah, this is so cute. Like, because we know, like, just from just being a child of Twitter, we all know, like, you know, these fast food chains have like Twitter accounts and they have got beef, like with Wendy's, the most snarkiest one on Twitter. It's like nice to see this. It's like wholesome. Like here in Asia, we don't do the snarky thing. We do the Asian nice thing, apparently. But yeah, I want the snark, but okay. It's cute.
Hi, Arvin. Can you hear us?
Hi. Yes,
hello,
I can.
Harman.
Can
you guys hear me?
Yes, hello. We can hear you.
Yay!
Do we sound good? Like, are we, like, super loud?
No? I feel like you guys are the most good-looking people in the world right now.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I do have a face for radio, I've been told.
Oh, my gosh. It's like a sight slam, but also, like, a good thing at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It's an honor to be here, to be insulted by you, sir. So today's guest is a really special dude. He is the best TV talk show host in the whole wide Malaysia. And yeah, you might know him as Harvin Skin. Hi, Harvin.
Hello. Hi. I love the intro. I've never been introduced as this guy is a special dude.
How else do you describe this guy? Because like he does it all. And like if you haven't seen his like beautiful little sketches, right? Oh my God, I honestly just sit here like on your profile and laughing to myself. I just look ridiculous and it's really worth it.
Oh, thank you so much. I feel very flattered.
Aww. I mean, your show itself is like, your show's name itself is like super baller, right? The late late night night show show with Harvin skin.
Yes, now and can you say that 4 times in 10 seconds?
Oh my gosh, I can't even say it once.
We'll give it a try. It's on screen, right? Is it on screen for you?
It is. Yeah.
Okay, we got this.
I will have a timer out. Wow, who's the radio host? Who's the host now of this show? I don't know anymore. It's a problem when you have 3 hosts.
Oh yeah, that's true. Okay, so Harvin, we'll tell you about our lives.
Shit. I've got my timer out. You can start anytime you want, and then I'll count you down.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay, Summer, do it.
Okay. DD late late night night show with Harvin skin, all for short TTLLNS. And then SSWWHHSS.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, you did it in 7 seconds. Well done.
Oh my God. Wow. I'm just going to put this in my resume, you know, just so that people know who they're messing with. Mm-hmm.
Well done. That's the
challenge. Thank you, sir. That's the challenge.
Coming from you.
But unfortunately, I have to start this podcast interview off on a very serious note. I have a pet peeve with you, sir. Ooh, a real big pet peeve. So, being a bald Indian man, I tried no more botak in a kotak, and it did not work, bro. It did not work. That's false advertising. False.
Bro, okay, if you read the fine print, it says it works 99% of the time.
Oh, Vim, okay. You're so special. You are the 1%.
You're the 1% anomaly, Vim.
I feel like this is the worst 1% to be a part of. I wanted to be a 1%, the other kind of 1%, you know?
You know what, bro? I'll get in touch with the people in the lab, and I will let them know that this version didn't work out for you. We will come up with the 2.0. No more.
Fair enough. Okay.
We will just need some samples. Some
hair sample, hair follicles.
Some saliva and some fingernails. But the fingernails need to be from your left hand.
Oh,
okay, fair enough.
It's
okay.
Real okay. Specific.
If
like,
you can move that over, I'll get it sorted for you, Vim. Don't worry about it.
Oh my God, look at the customer service on this thing. Like, it's amazing.
I know, it's like from direct.
That's why we have the best show in the whole white Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. Forget farm to table, sir. This one is fingernails from your left hand all the way to Malaysia.
Yes.
But yeah, I guess we should talk about a bit about you now, Harvin.
I guess,
you know, we know too much about Vim already, you know, I guess.
Yeah, no one cares. Yeah.
Kela. But yeah, could you tell us about Skin TV, your YouTube channel, and why the hell it's called Skin TV?
Okay, it's called, why? You seem so angered that I called it Skin TV.
No, I'm not angry, sir. It's just that, you know, right, if you search the terms.
Why are you calling me, sir? I don't understand. What is the dynamics?
Okay. Okay, Harvin, my friend Summer, Harvin.
Summer is extremely young, so like everyone's like scared.
Yeah, correct. I'm being respectful, sir.
Are you like 15, Summer?
Oh, no, dude, I'm like 24, but I have been like past a kid's menu before. So that's a whole other story. But okay, just back to Skin TV, right? I'm thinking that if you search the terms Skin TV into YouTube, that could bring up like a whole host of videos.
Yeah, there's another channel that has Skin Space TV, and I think they talk about facials and stuff like that.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, so you guys got the option of, you know, with the space and without the space. But how I got the name was my nickname is Skin, and why it's Skin is because I'm all over you guys, baby.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. That's not how I got the name. That's not why I put the name for myself. But my brother, my elder brother, was a skinhead in high school. So they used to call him Skin. Like, his name is Sudev, and they used to call him Sudev Skin. And when I grew up, I wanted to be like my brother because he seemed cool at that time. Not anymore. But I was like, okay, so I want to be Skin also. So I called myself Harvin Skin. And then I used the Skin, in a better way, like, I think, than he did. So I stuck with it, and then I decided to name my YouTube channel Skin TV after Genie Boy TV, because like, obviously that's Genie Boy. I'm Skin TV. So I was like, okay, Skin TV, because Genie Boy is the reason why I am on YouTube. I got inspired by his videos because when I watched them, I thought, hey, I can be funnier than this. So
Okay. You have good stuff on beef.
In a good way. I always I've told him this as well, because like I was a huge fan of him. And then after a while, I was like, okay, this is, I want something different. I want to do something different. Other than just this content. So, and also I met him once while he was in a shoot, and I was 17. And I think he was really busy and he didn't really lie on me that much. So I was like, you know what? This is revenge. I'm gonna take over the whole industry.
that's one way to do it, right? That's one way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is
exactly what it is. But yeah, tell us more about, I guess, like this talk show, the type of content that you have. Because I mean, we've seen I watched both episodes that are out, and I was like completely like engaged in the whole both shows, and the production quality is really, really good, I think.
Thank you. I mean, I owe it all to my team, not just myself. I couldn't have done this without my team. Ion from We Are Kicks, he was the director, and he does all the edits for the show. And you know, his brain just works in a completely different way. Like, we are all normal human beings in this world, and then there's Ion. And his brain just looks at something and just knows what to do with it. And he edits these things. Like, he does not sleep. And I think while he is operating as a human being, he is also sleeping. That's how he's resting. At the same time, he's thinking. At the same time, he's eating without eating. So he is a being that is, you can't explain him. So his mind is what the show is. Like, what you see visually, that is all him. And I have to, you know, also thank my writer, my writing crime and partner, Ryan Majerai, who is also my manager. You know, he had sleepless nights trying to figure out the scripts. I'm really bad at scripts. That is the one thing that I'm really bad at. I can have an idea for something. I can okay, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this to them. I want to do this to them. Da, da, da. But where do I start? How do I start this? How do I plan this out? And Ryan just absolutely did that for me. And he structured the whole interview to make it sound like an interview. Without him, I think it would have been absolute garbage as well. But the three of us, I think it created like a special sort of vibe and feeling between all three of us when we sat down at this table and started talking about it. We wanted to create a show that has never been done before in this region of the world. Like, you can compare this show to maybe an Eric Andre show, but obviously, you know, toned down by like 150%.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it did remind me a little bit of like of Eric Andre, but yeah, I mean, Eric Andre's show is like, it takes a special type of viewer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. It does. I mean, I don't know where we can get those viewers from in this part of the region, but like we were drawn to him, obviously, because it's like nobody would ever even think of doing something like what he's doing. So it's like, okay, maybe we take that, but not too much of that, and kind of keep it still watchable for, you know, the everyday Joe. And we wanted to have skits in them. We wanted to have you know, some scripted acting in them, and also a lot of genuine conversations in them as well. And I think what we have done, right, and this might be a very douche thing to say, I think for what we have done, anyone who wants to come up with a talk show in Malaysia or Singapore or whatever,
yeah,
I think mermit lah.
Yeah. Oh, fighting words. I love it. Of course. You know what you're about.
If you do it and you do it better than this talk show, I'm like, okay, wow, well done. I will appreciate that so much, but you need to step the game up, because that's what I'm so proud of my work. Sometimes you got to just stop and just like realize, wow, okay, this is good stuff. Although episode 3 was not as good as episode 1 and 2. That's my personal opinion. But other than that, other than that, I think the kind of content that this show has produced, not just by myself but my entire team, I'm very, very, very proud of it. I don't know if you guys can sense that, and I'm very like protective of it. So
I don't know.
I feel with great pride and joy I can say, if you guys want to do a talk show in Malaysia or Singapore, man,
call Harvin first.
Hire us and we'll do it for you.
Oh, so nice. Just spreading the love here. But yeah, just on the same topic, like you said, so being risque and taboo in Malaysia can be quite a challenge. So how have you dealt with it?
No, I haven't.
You haven't? That's a short answer.
But I think the drama over here in Malaysia is quite okay, lah, not too bad. Like, I think Singapore has much more drama.
True.
So we are a bit more conservative in that sense. But I do like to mouth off. I do like to say whatever I feel. I do like to do the occasional curse words here and there. And by here and there, I mean quite often. And a lot of people, I guess, in this region, in this culture, they're not too accustomed to it being public. If it's in their circle, it's completely fine. You know, there's a bunch of friends talking to each other. They're like, everyone curses.
Everyone will
say whatever they want to say. But then if you say it in public, it's a no-no. So I don't get that whole concept. And I won't think about the concept. I'm just going to be continuously me and who I am. And I think we are growing. We are obviously growing as a community here in Malaysia and Singapore to accept everyone for what they want to be and who they are. I think we're slowly progressing. Singapore much more, you know, accepting than Malaysia. But
yes.
We will. Yes, that's a very firm yes. Yes, correct.
Ken la. We are doing okay la.
Yeah, well.
No, you guys accept like quite a bit of you guys are very tolerant.
Well, you know, I don't know. The general thing is like, could be better la. We're hoping for better.
Yeah. I think the journey, I think maybe we're both in a journey. I think we're both a little far away in the journey, but I think there is, we're on the journey. So that's an important thing. I think versus like us versus Bangkok or, you know, even like the Philippines, I think there's still a lot more that we can do.
And absolutely, like diversity is like a very real thing. Like it's a real issue to be concerned about, especially in the year 2020. I guess just being an Indian entertainer, like people might think that your content is catered to just Indians, but it's really quite diverse. So how have you managed to keep your content fresh?
That's the thing, isn't it? Like in this side of the world, it's like, oh, if you're Indian and you make content, it's for Indian people. If you're Chinese, you make content for Chinese people. I don't know how to help that. I wish I had an answer to help that, but if you guys think it's bad in Singapore, it's worse here in Malaysia because we are segregated by not only race but also language. So the community here in Malaysia, the English speaking community here in Malaysia is puny and tiny compared to the Malay speaking community. Up like maybe 80% of the whole country. So it's quite impossible for English speaking content creators, not only just content creators, but English speaking singers or rappers or artists to make their mark in the entire nation. Because they don't look at us the same way they look at Malay rappers or Malay content creators because they resonate more to them. And that's a very natural human thing, I think, for them to do. But with my content and very... Here's the thing. There are some people who grew up who were like, okay, I'm going to do English content or I'm going to do English rap or I'm going to do English songs. And then they see that they don't get the numbers, so they switch. So they say, okay, I'm going to start doing things in Malay now.
I would think, you know, like, is there a specific Malaysian kind of flavor that you bring to the TV, like to the show and to the industry maybe?
I mean, in both the episodes, there were durians. So that's something.
Okay.
But it's still the gap between, it's not about the references. I feel it's just the language barrier as well sometimes. The gap between, not many people speak English in this country and they don't speak it well enough to want to show, to want to watch a talk show that is in So that's a bit difficult.
Yeah, but I guess that also brings us to kind of like nuanced comedy, right? Like that's also like, obviously when you're producing, when you're thinking your creative process in coming up with the show and your sketches, they always have like nuances of you know, comedy that is in that language. I guess that's also kind of an issue, right? I think it's difficult. That probably plays into a part of like, you know, like you said, like some people might not be as strong in English or and that needs to...
100%, because like I think in English and all my jokes are in English, and some punchlines in they only work in English. They don't. I'm heavily inspired by Hollywood and like all the shows from America, so I think that way. But the comedy in Malaysia or in the Malay market is completely different. It's very slapstick. It's very, very slapstick. And I do that in most the my videos that I make that do go like viral in the nation are usually ones that I don't speak. So it's just like through actions and through, or if I'm making a funny Indian accent in Malay or in English, so they're like, oh, funny Indian accent, or accents are funny. So they work well when it's that sort of comedy, but it's not what I want to do all the time. There's a balance that I need to find in pleasing like everyone else and also pleasing myself in my content, which is always a debate, I think, for a lot of artists. Like, what do I do? Do I do what I want to do and just be happy with that product? Or do I expect to please everyone with what I do? Then am I doing this for them or doing this for me? It's constant struggle for me as well, because I do want to do it for my fans. And I also want to do it for people who are not my fans and make them my fans. So I need to find that balance, and everyone in the industry needs to find that balance between juggling what you want to do as a content creator or as an artist, and also pleasing everyone else and garnering way more fans than you've had yesterday.
Well, I can safely say that you have two new fans in us. Like, I really did enjoy your content. And like, you know, I just like, yeah, like you said, like, you know, the sort of organized chaos of like the having a format that doesn't really have a format, because you guys do like a lot of different things like within an episode. Like, it's like, you know, talk show a little bit, like you said, a little bit of a sketch. And then all of a sudden there's like, you know, music, there's games. It's sort of like a combination of a lot of things. And like, you know, I was like, oh, I was a little like tired after watching the episode, because I was like, oh my gosh, like it's like high energy the whole way.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you guys got tired watching it, we got so tired shooting that whole season, because it was nonstop. I had to be on the ball, because guests would come. Like, there was one day where like we had two episodes in one day, and I had to be like really like energized the whole way through. We had we had help from the brand who sponsored us, which is
interesting.
I don't know if I can mention it on this podcast.
Duers,
my friend Duers, family. So the show is sponsored by Duers. They came to me from India, all the way from India. They were like, oh, we have this whiskey brand that wants to sponsor a talk show for you. And then I was like, oh wow, okay. And they had this concept in mind. They wanted to have a blend of comedy and music. That's why in each episode you get a musical performance at the end. And also the comedy bit that comes from the skits, and then the talk show bit that comes from the questions. And I was just getting drunk all the time.
Oh, that's how you do it. I was going to ask about your creative process, but oh, it's right here.
Yeah. So while I'm shooting, I think just alcohol, just for me personally, just lifts the barrier between guest and host. Some liquid courage. You know, people just get tend to become a bit more relaxed and open up a bit more in the show, and are more open to things. So that was definitely a good, you know, thing to have in the mixer. Having the guests drink, having myself drink, and we were just having lots of fun during the shoots, and I think that helped, and that resonated on the episodes as well.
Always helps. I've been drinking since 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh. So that's what's happening.
JK, first of all, I just want to go on record and say that's not true, so that I don't get fired.
Yeah, our boss is listening, so you know, gotta.
But I'll
be drinking from 9 a.m. Just to
know. That's fair. He is American, and the elections are going on that. So, yeah.
Maybe.
Basically, dude's been hammered. Just kidding. Don't want to get fired.
So you guys are cutting this whole part out, right?
Of the podcast. Yeah.
I think let's just leave it in.
You're trying to get me fired.
Yeah, so just to let everyone know, this will be the last Coconuts podcast of the year.
It was nice knowing y'all.
It's good. I feel very honored to be the last guest, and the reason why you guys are having your last show today.
Finale episode.
Mm-hmm. It ends with you, so starts with you, ends with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. How would you describe like the industry in Malaysia in general for people who don't know? Because obviously we have regional listeners. What are like some of the challenges that you kind of went through, or were you just more like sort of gung ho? I'm gonna be me. I'm gonna start doing this my way, and like just let people, you know, come to like basically build Rome and people will come to it. But or did you feel that you had to sort of like be someone? And then kind of, you know, mold your way through.
I think I didn't have a plan when I came, because I didn't plan to become a video maker or a talk show host or a content creator. I just wanted to be funnier than Ginny Boy. So I made one video. That's literally how the story started. I just made one video and it banged. It banged. People loved it. And I was like, okay, wow. But I was like 18 when I made that. So. At 18, my parents told me, you know, you're being ridiculous. I'll slap you in the face if you not, you know, complete your degree. So I had to complete my degree. And that took about like 4 years. So at 22, 23, I had no interest in studying some more, because my dad wanted me to do my master's after that. I'm like, yo, no. You were joking, right? And I said, I'm not going to do it. And then he said, okay, then just, you know, we'll see what you can do then. So from the age of 22, 23, I just made videos for the last like 4 years. And it has gotten me here. And I haven't really had a plan. I still don't have a plan. I felt like I've been myself this whole time. I've always believed that no matter what the topic is, if you infuse comedy into it, everything is okay. Because you need to be able to make fun of yourself and everything around you for you to be able to live a very manageable life. Because if you start taking things so seriously and too seriously, you will ruin yourself. That's what I believe. Like you cannot, whether it's your love life or whether it's your family, whether it's your work, you need to be able to see the light side of things and be able to joke about it. And I joke about everything.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm about to embroider that on a pillow because that was beautiful.
Hey, thank you so much. Like, yes. And then we can sell it and make some profit or so.
Oh yeah, good idea. In this economy. Yeah, good ideas. All good ideas.
So, like, with that being said, I got a lot of hate from the very beginning. Like, in the beginning, people would be like, what are you trying to do? You're making a fool of yourself. You're doing this. You got no other work. Because people didn't, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, people didn't get that this is an actual career, because it wasn't a respectable thing to do, not having a degree or not having a 9-to-5 job. Yeah. Online video creation was shat upon. So you have your bunch of people behind the screens, behind the keyboards, who think they are tough as hell, and they come and comment and they belittle you because you make videos or you're trying to be funny online. And then fast forward 5 years later, this has now become the main thing to do. Like online video creation and online marketing, online ads, they're the only thing that is happening right now. Even in this pandemic era, everything is online from A to Z. And that has worked well for me personally because I stuck through it. And it's not very easy to start off like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when people shit on you and say all these that oh, you're never going to make it, what are you doing with your life, go find a job, I bet your parents are not proud of you, and all those things. When at that point of time, I didn't care, because I was also still young. I'm like, yo, these people don't know. And I'm so lucky to have been that young and have that thick skin, because if I didn't, I would have been like, oh my god, okay, I should quit this thing now. But I stuck through it. Like, these people are ridiculous, they don't know. Because I had my haters, but I also had a bunch of amazing, awesome fans who were always there to encourage me, and they seemed to love my shit. And to me, it's like, I take more of the hate than I do the love, because it's easier to believe in the hate than it is to believe in the love. So whenever there was love coming at me, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, they probably just saying they don't really mean it. Da, da, da. But then whenever the hate comes in, it's like, oh, shit. Like, wow, is this reality? Is this what it is?
Yeah. But
it's very hard. It's very hard. It's not a very easy industry to be in, especially when you're in the limelight and you're getting like all this hate constantly. I don't know how some people do it. Like, people get hate like 10 times worse than I do or I did. And I sometimes it does bother me, bother us. But then essentially your fans and the love that you receive is what you need to be able to shift your focus on, because that's who you're doing it for. And all these haters, they hate for no reason, actually. They hate because they are jealous. And that comes from a very... You can understand that very logically, because, like, can you imagine someone going into a 9-to-5 job every day?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then... Oh, wow. I'm describing it. 9-to-5 job. They earn this much, and then they have to go back and they have nothing else, you know, and they repeat that cycle every day.
Yeah.
And then they see some fucking asshole online making a fool out of himself and getting paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like, wow, this is not okay. This is not okay. Why is he living like this? And they start to hate online. And that's what I used to do when I was like 16, 17. I used to hate on Justin Bieber.
Oh,
I used to hate on Justin Bieber so much. I was like, oh, he's a girl. He has a girl voice. Oh, what is he? Look at him. He's a girl. And I'm like, looking back on that, and I have to be able to admit that I was wrong. I was completely, completely wrong to say those things, because that just showed what kind of a person I was when I was 17. I was jealous. I wished I was Justin Bieber. I wish I had everything that he had. That's why I was hating on him. And it was
look at you now.
On him from all the way here. Because he's never going to know what I'm saying about him. I just look cool to my friends when I call him a girl. That's what I do. And then you start to realize that, you know, it defines you as a person. I could have just hated on Justin Bieber, or, you know, continuously until the age of like 27 now, continuously hate on people that I see online, or shift my perspective and the way that I think and say, hey, actually, I don't hate this person. This is me being a jackass. I actually feel like this person has done so well for himself, and I want and I aspire to be this person. I shouldn't feel threatened by this person. I want to be this person. And so what do I do? Do I continue hating online and stay the same person that I am? Or do I make something of my life? So there's a decision that haters have to make in their lives, because you are literally taking so much time out to comment online on things.
Yeah,
and that's what you do. You're taking so much effort to do that, you know, instead of doing that, which is going to be pointless and you feel cool for a bit. But after that, what are you going to do with your life? Because this is your life that we're talking about. What are you going to do?
Yeah, because so you just can't keep on living off of comments. You're like, yeah, that's why that's the thing with trolls. Like, you hit it right in the nail. Like, you know, like, they are obviously like sad about something in their lives, like whether it's something they're not getting or you know, and yeah, they gotta have that like 1-2 minutes of like, you know, quote unquote good feels in their lives, and they go and comment on someone and try to tear them down, and that's what happens.
Go ahead to all the trolls listening to this. Go ahead. What if you want to comment in this podcast comment section and say it's a shit podcast? Just say it.
Do it. We can take it.
Do it. You can take it.
It will only motivate me, sir.
Yeah. I'll probably be like, oh my gosh, we have fans.
Oh my god, that's not my mom.
So what's next for you? You know, there's all this exciting stuff happening. How many episodes are there in the first season?
Just three.
Okay. And
it's
then
a short first season. So this is obviously a trial run, right? Because Dewars obviously came to me and said, we want a 3-episode talk show season. So I couldn't have gone back and say, hey, let's make it 10. That's not how it worked. I would have loved 10 episodes, but these 3 episodes actually were a lot of hard work for someone who never intended to be a talk show host or never intended to have a talk show host. I mean, talk show. And so having done this, it sets a benchmark for myself and my team to then, okay, we can do this now. Let's plan for something much, much bigger. And you know, obviously a talk show is in the works after this dies down. How much crazier it's going to get, it's definitely going to be crazier. I want to write a movie.
Awesome.
I want to act and produce that movie. And I want to shoot it in Singapore so that I can make Singapore feel included in my life as well. I love Singapore. I have a lot of love for Singapore. I feel like Singapore and the industry there and the people there are pretty cool. They're very cool people. I'm very envious of Singapore sometimes. You guys get all the good shit.
Hey, you guys got good food.
No, okay, we got good food. Food is the only thing that we have.
Okay, that just took like a real sad turn, but okay. No, Malaysia's great.
Food is the only thing that we have. I won't be shy to admit it, because sometimes when my Singaporean friends bring me out and they hype up this place and I'm eating it and it's like, bro, there is no flavor whatsoever in this thing. How do you call this food? I'm so sorry. I'm gonna feel so offended. But other than food, everything, you guys are on top of us. Everything. Yeah.
Well, I think I think that you really have something special going on. And I think I'm excited to see what is gonna be the next thing that you do. I really did enjoy the first two episodes. This is not just I gotta make the guests feel good. Like, it really was pretty good. And I'm excited for the third episode. And I think that it is very unique. Like you said at the start of the show, or the interview, that no one else should be making it like a talk show. And I actually kind of agree with that. You know, I actually think that you have that little sort of vertical, that little part of the industry kind of nailed down. And I really do want to watch you. Like, I want to watch a show. Like, I want you to, you know, be big enough where all the celebrities, if they're coming to Asia, they need to go on the late night show with Amitabh and Skin.
Oh, damn, bro. That felt so good to hear, bro. Thank you so much for that compliment. I will hold that in my mind and heart for a long, long time. Thank you.
Something
nice to add on to that. Maybe you want to...
Kevin, you are so great. You look so great with when you use no botak in the kotak.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look great when you're holding up a tiger beer can. You look great when you're holding your placards when you talk, when you're on the talk show.
Yeah.
You're just great, lah.
Not as good as this, but I will take it.
I'll try harder next time. But yeah.
Maybe in the next time, yeah.
You will come. Oh, wait, sorry. This is the last episode, right? So no more, sorry.
That's great. Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon.
For coming on.
Take care.
Nice to meet you guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Whoa.
Okay. Well, Summer, I thought that was really, really fun.
God, he's so cute.
Hovind's such a character. I mean, I think he, I think he's a really talented guy and really smart and intelligent. I think, what his talk show evolves into, I think will be, I think he's got something special on his hands. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, there's definitely a gap in the market for this kind of humor, and I am here for it.
Yeah, and I think the best part of the show is that I think he did it in a way where it's very current. You know, I think if you watch US talk shows, you kind of know they're all kind of similar. There's a guest, there's a music guest, and they kind of do interviews, blah blah blah, and then it's kind of done. So there are a couple, there are a couple unique ones, obviously, as he mentioned, the Eric Andre show. But there's nothing really in Singapore, and I think a talk show format, the way Hovind is doing it, is definitely something that I think young people and, I think brands potentially will definitely love.
Yeah, dude, this is the future, this format exactly. But yeah, you guys should totally keep up with him. You should subscribe to him on Skin TV on YouTube, and you should follow him at Hovind Skin on Instagram.
Woohoo!
That's
it from us. Another great show. Next week, we'll have another cool guest.
Mm-hmm. And we lied. It wasn't the last episode.
Ha 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 ha. Well, we don't know yet. We'll give you updates on our firings if that happens.
Yeah, yes, we will. Stay tuned. Yeah, thanks for listening. If you'd like to support Coconuts and our weird and wondrous stories, you can become a Coco Plus member at coconuts.co/membership, make a patron payment at coconuts.co/patron, or buy our fresh merch at the Coconut Shop at shop.coconuts.co. Subscribe to the podcast and leave reviews. Tell us how you feel and what you like and don't like. We're excited to hear from you.
The Coconuts podcast delivers impactful, weird, and wondrous reporting by a journalist on the ground in 8 cities. Singapore, Bangkok, Hong Kong, Manila, Jakarta, Kuala Lumpur, Yangon, and Bali. Listen to headline news and insightful interviews on matters large and small, designed for people located in or curious about Southeast Asia and Hong Kong.
Woo. The Coconuts podcast is a Coconuts Media production. Our hosts are Summer Lee and Vim Shanmugam. Our executive producer is Byron Perry. Our production manager is Clarissa Cortez, and our editor is Raina Lim.